Chapter 6. Holy shit! I muttered, and the glittering marble room spun out a bit as I processed everything Karth had just sent. While the idea of this information wasn't new to me by any means, the confirmation of my impossible heritage overwhelmed my brain. I rested my face in my hands as if the gesture could stabilize my dizzied mind.
I wouldn't toil over it,
Karth stated simply, and the green-skinned Arkin studied her sharp, black-varnished nails casually, as if she hadn't just delivered life-altering news to me.
Surely you were at least mostly aware of this, since you knew Relaud and Genevieve were guardians.
I knew that, but I'm still unclear about how I got here, I said as I lifted my head.
I invited you?
The goddess replied with a confused expression. No, not here specifically. I shook my head, and I took a breath to suppress my frustration with the goddess. I meant in this time period. If I was born thousands of years ago, I would be dead. So there must be an explanation for how I got here. I'm not exactly an old man, and I arrived in Njordan Falls as a child. How did I get there in the first place?
I don't have the answer to that particular question.
Karth shrugged again casually, and her uncaring tone and body language began to piss me off.
Your arrival in the human world is beyond the realm of my knowledge. All I know of your early existence is what I witnessed before the Guardians put me to rest.
My head throbbed with a million thoughts, and before I could ask her another dozen questions, the Arkin took my hands in hers and raised one of her dark eyebrows suggestively.
Now, enough about parentage, dates, and boring mortal lifespans,
she purred.
Let's pick up where we left off. I'm more than ready for a second round if you are.
Is that it, then? I pressed. That's all you have to tell me?
Yes.
Karth gave me a lazy grin, like the cat who'd gotten the cream.
That's all.
All of this build-up for that single bit of information? I growled. You aren't going to elaborate any further?
What more is there for me to say?
The Arkin wondered with a frown, and her bottom fangs were prominent and bright with the gesture.
They had you, but now you are here.
This is bullshit, I muttered, and I snatched my hands away from Karth and dug my nails into the flesh of my palms to keep from exploding.
Griff, my deal was not shit.
I sighed, but I guessed it probably would have been. At least I got you to leave Varlay alone. The goddess sat up straight, and the silk sheet that sheathed her fell back to the bed and left the Arkin's naked torso exposed. While it was a gorgeous sight, sex with the horned goddess, who held me prisoner and fed me false promises, was the last thing on my mind.
My deal was not shit,
Karth hissed at me.
I promised I would tell you about Relaud and Genevieve, and I did. They were guardians, and they lived 1,000 years ago where they had you. I fulfilled my part of the arrangement. Never once did I lie to you.
You may have told me a single truth, but you certainly alluded to a longer revelation.
It is not my fault you believed as much,
the green-skinned Arkin scoffed.
Your perception is not my responsibility. I did nothing wrong. In fact, I revealed to you more than anyone else ever has, so this hostility from you is entirely unnecessary, Beastmaker.
I see how it is, I said, and I quickly pulled myself out of bed. Then I located the clothing on the floor and began to hastily dress myself in the rumpled outfit.
Where are you going?
Karth demanded with narrowed eyes.
I did not dismiss you from my chamber, and I wish you to make love to me again.
I didn't realize I needed permission to leave, I snarled. I thought I was your guest, not your prisoner. Isn't that what you've been telling me over and over again?
Griff.
What are you going to do if I disobey? Sick another Maripor on me? I asked boldly. I had no idea if my accusation was based in truth, but in the moment, I couldn't help but wonder again if the Arkin was responsible for the monster attack.
For the last time, I didn't send that beast to attack you.
Karth let out an exasperated sigh.
I would have ended your life much sooner if that was my intention. Trust me, Beastmaker. I have the means to do so on my own. I don't need some weaker monster to do my bidding.
Whatever you say, I muttered as I buttoned my shirt.
Look, don't be like this. We were having such a good time. I don't want you to leave.
I need some time to myself, if you don't mind. I interrupted bluntly as I reached the last button. This may seem like an unimportant bit of information to you, but to me, this is everything.
You love to hinge your entire existence on tiny details.
The Arcan chuckled bitterly.
Who cares, Griff? So what if you were alive so long ago? And so what if your parents and guardians were not quite what they seemed? What matters is the now. You are here, in this time period, and in my bedroom. And I believe it is for a reason.
I'm not going to join your side just because I'm confused. I shook my head. Of course, Karth found another way to circle back to me joining her team of united goddesses. I would never go against my friends and family, especially not for someone like you.
That hurts me deeply.
Karth pouted.
But not as much as it'll hurt you down the line. What will your beloved human women think when you return and tell them the news? Do you think they'll accept the strangeness of the truth? That is not human nature. Humans despise what they do not understand, and they cling to realities and facts that make them feel safe.
As opposed to Arkans, who cling to ideals that bring forth destruction?
I never said we were perfect. But we're far superior to your brood of human women.
Karth declared as she lifted her chin.
You think your bonds are strong now, but those females will not believe what I've just told you.
You seem awfully confident for someone who hasn't even met my wives and girlfriends. I fired back at the Arcan.
I am confident in human behavior.
The goddess sneered.
I do not wish for you to be shunned by your community. Here, in the Shadowscape, your mortal existence will not be seen as unfairly extended or unnecessary. Here, you are accepted. We will love you. I will love you and give you many beautiful children. Then you can rule the human world as...
Nope, I said with the roll of my eyes. I know you have little faith. But my women never treated me like I was unworthy or weird just because my abilities are different. They stand by me, and they accept me for who I am.
For now.
Karth shrugged.
But what of your human army? Will they so willingly accept it? What about your headmaster and your father-in-law? What will they say when they find out you are our savior?
I won't stand here and let you continue to insult my loved ones, I growled.
Accept your destiny, Griff,
Karth murmured.
Stop denying your birthright and accept that you are different from them. You are better than them. You're wasting your talents with your human army. Come rule by my side.
Thanks for the fuck. It was great, but I'm done here. I don't want your armies or the supposed birthright you're offering.
You'll be back, Beastmaker.
The Arcan smiled at me.
But until then, close the door behind you. I have some personal business to attend to, and I'd prefer to do it uninterrupted.
I couldn't stand the sight of the Arcan any longer, so I exited Karth's bedchamber as quickly as I could. As I hurried down the stairs, my knees were weak as I carried the weight of such a heavy revelation. While Karth had given me the information I so desperately needed, the secret only opened up more questions. Why was I here? How had I gotten here? Obviously, there was an element of time travel that had to have occurred. But in what capacity? And why? Someone went to great lengths to get me away, but for what reason? With a deep inhale, I forced my mind to slow itself before I could spiral too far out of control. There were so many questions in need of answers, but before I could unpack all of them, I needed to get away from Karth's tower and return to my chamber. I had to be alone. I continued down the corridor until I reached my room. I unlocked the door with a shaky hand and then locked it again as soon as I entered. I didn't have the patience for unexpected midnight Arkan visits. I didn't even make it to the bed before I collapsed on trembling legs to the marble floor. My knees cried out from the jolt against the hard surface, but I was too dizzy to pull myself back up. As I sat there on the cool black floor, I wished my summoning skills could extend to humans as well as monsters, because if they could, I would summon my wives and lovers to my side with no hesitation. All I wanted was the comfort and support of my women. A voice in the back of my mind wondered what my women would say when I told them the truth. Karth's words had gotten to me more than I wanted to admit to myself. Would they be scared? Freaked out? Suspicious of the news? Angry? There was no way to pinpoint their exact reactions. I imagined the faces of all my girls and played out the different scenarios. Arwen and Ashla would surely handle the information with professionalism and an ounce of understanding. With how many research trips they went on for Headmaster Sleet, as well as their efforts to translate the Guardian's books we'd retrieved in the Southern Continent, surely they knew everything already. Layla would crack jokes, and the petite summoner's hazel eyes would twinkle as she teased me. She'd call me an old man and make it a point to remind me of my supposed age as often as she possibly could. The vivacious brunette was a notorious prankster, and this information would only fuel her mirth. She would bring fun to the matter and relieve me of the seriousness that Nia would exude. My ashen-haired wife would be taken aback by the information, but she would process it in a matter-of-fact kind of way. Nia Kinnifik was an elemental prodigy, not to mention a genius, so her impressive mind would help me unravel the mysteries of my heritage. Syru would surely adopt Layla's joking demeanor about the whole thing, since the curly-haired summoner was easygoing and had a mischievous streak nearly as wide as Layla's. Aaron's views would lie somewhere between Nia's and Layla's. The orange-haired mimic would somehow find the most optimistic viewpoints and bring a smile to my face as she cheered me up. She was also very kinky, so I imagined she'd find a way to bring it up when we were fucking. That only left Freya, and a sense of dread filled me as I imagined how the Hawk Princess would react. The culture of her homeland was so different from that of my Mistral lovers, and this would certainly be difficult to explain to the shapeshifter. As visions of their beautiful faces danced around me, I was interrupted by a small voice in my head.
Well, I don't think you're a freak.
I lifted my head from my lap, and when I did, I was greeted by the concerned face of my housecat-sized familiar. Dio sat in front of me with his head tilted to the right, and his round eyes were intently locked onto me. Thanks, I muttered, and I reached out to scratch the saber-toothed tiger. Dio let out a long purr as I stroked his tawny fur.
You're a badass, he reminded me, and your ladies love you. Trust me, they tell me all the time. They really care about you, boss. They aren't gonna care that you were born a while ago. You're with them now, and that's what matters. Besides, I'm sure the only thing they're worried about is catching up on the alone time with you, if you know what I mean.
The saber-toothed cat winked at me, and his tongue lolled out of his mouth in the goofiest way possible. A deep laugh rose from my belly, and suddenly I couldn't stop chuckling. You always know just what to say. I brought the cat to my chest and hugged him. Thank you, Dio. You're right. Karth was just getting to me.
Fuck that,
Dio insisted, and he nudged the top of his head against my cheek affectionately.
She doesn't know what she's talking about. The Horned Lady is just angry you don't want to be hers. She's not worth your energy, Master.
Mira Lee spoke up in my mind, and her presence in my consciousness pulled me away from my calmness and reminded me of the other aspect of this equation. "Did you all know about this?" I asked the Arkans once I lifted the barriers completely. "That I was born in a different time?" There was a collective silence as if each goddess was waiting for the other to speak, but no one rose to the occasion. "Hello?" I demanded. "I know you can hear me. There isn't a magical mental block like last time."
"Master, you weren't ready yet to hear it," Sarah murmured.
"That's bullshit, and you know it," I growled. "I gave you the opportunity to tell me earlier when you mentioned the bit about procreation, and yet you didn't think to confirm one of the biggest indications that I was the Beastmaker?"
"Surely you knew what it meant when you discovered your parents' names in that book," Sarah replied. "I am sorry we did not come clean to you, but was I so wrong in thinking you'd put two and two together and accepted the reality of it?" "Master, shall I comfort you?"
Mira Lee wondered, and I could tell the Jaguar goddess was attempting to deflect the argument that had begun to brew between her sisters and me.
"And I as well?"
Utuni chimed in.
"Allow us to make this all better for you,"
Viopa murmured, and the succubus goddess's voice was as smooth as honey as it wavered through my mind. "Look, there is no making it better," I replied to them. "What's done is done. But don't you think for one second I've forgotten the parts you played in this."
"Please, don't scold us,"
Utuni pouted.
"We didn't want to overwhelm you any further,"
Fi chimed in.
"We love you, Master,"
Sarah chimed in.
"Let us make it up to you,"
Mira Lee agreed. "I'm not in the mood," I sighed, and I ran a hand through my shaggy bangs. "I need to get some sleep, and I'm not in desperate need of companionship."
"Are we not lovely enough for your taste?"
Utuni sniffed.
"Perhaps he enjoys fucking Karth more than us,"
Fi grumbled.
"Or drooling over Xanrith,"
Viopa murmured. "Ugh," I groaned. They'd proven my point exactly, though much faster than I'd have figured. So I thoroughly slammed the walls in my consciousness and shoved the essences of the goddesses behind them. I couldn't handle any more arguments or outbursts this evening. So I turned my affection back over to Dio, and the saber-toothed cat monster was in heaven as I delicately scratched the pokey fur around his chest. "You know, Xanrith was right earlier," I noted thoughtfully as I pet him, and Dio studied me with concern.
"Oh no, what about,"
my familiar whined.
"Those women sure do have some wild ideas."
I waited just a second, just to make Dio squirm, and the cat grew antsier by the moment. "You are pretty stinky," I admitted to him, and a wide grin spread across my face.
"Oh yeah?"
the cat drawled.
"I would rather smell a little musty than smell a little, you know."
"Know what?"
"Like sex?"
"You got me there." I shook my head at the saber-toothed cat. "Well, guess what, buddy? I think we've both earned ourselves a bath."
"No! Not the bath!"
"Yep," I said. "We can't go to bed smelly. And as you pointed out, I'm not the freshest smelling either. That Maripor battle was pretty intense, and we're both in pretty rough shape."
"I don't wanna,"
Dio pouted, and the cat monster stuck his jaw out. But with his comically large fangs, he just looked silly. "Come on, it'll be fun," I insisted. "Brayden and I used to go to the bathhouse together all the time. It's relaxing."
"Fine,"
Dio gave in.
"But the second you try to wrap me in a towel, I'm bolting out of here."
"Deal," I chuckled at my familiar. And then I scooped him up and took him into the bath chamber. For what had to have been the next hour or so, I scrubbed myself and Dio so hard, I swore I'd removed 3 layers of skin from the two of us individually. The Maripor attack left Dio coated in blood, dirt, and grime, and I wasn't much better. Once we were as clean as we could manage, Dio and I curled underneath the surprisingly warm sheets and comforter. The cat monster settled into the crook of my arm, and together, we fell asleep. After a long and thankfully dreamless rest, I woke up with a strong sense of purpose. The Maripor had done a great job of sidetracking me, but today, the remaining sting of the bite had vanished, and I was more energized than ever. And now that the curiosity of Karth's reveal had been quelled, it was time to refocus on my main mission, getting into her strange library. I only had 2 days left in the Shadowscape, and aside from my heated exchanges with Huna and physical relations with Karth, I hadn't gotten any closer to finding a helpful bit of information to take back with me to Mistral. My only obstacle was the Shaddoll. I needed to find some way around Karth's shadow spies so I could sneak into the library and take a look at that hidden-away shelf. But how? I paced around my bedchamber as I pondered the attacks and magical abilities of my many summons, and I tried to apply them to the situation. Brute force would draw too much attention, so that eliminated over half of my monsters. I could attempt to find a way back into the library, but with the scarcity of the windows in Karth's palace, it was an unlikely plan. Sneakiness wouldn't help me get past the wall of Shaddoll. I needed to blend in somehow. Creep in undetected. Blend in. Holy shit. I had an idea. Fi, could you use your illusion magic to make me look like a Shaddoll? I asked as I released the white-winged Arkin from her bindings. If I look like one of them, I could slip into the library without being spotted by them or Karth.
Of course I can,
Fi boasted.
I can make you look like anything you want, Master.
Excellent, I grinned. But then I felt more movement about my mind.
Excuse me, Master, for the contradiction, Sarah spoke up. My sister's magic will make you outwardly look like a Shaddoll. But the creatures are smarter than you give them credit for. They will be able to see right through the illusion, and then they will turn you over to Karth.
Ugh! Why do you have to try to ruin everything?
Fi hissed at Sarah.
Butt out of this, Sarah!
No, Fi, she might have a point. I reluctantly agreed with the dark-winged Arkin.
Of course I do, Sarah scoffed.
And besides, I promised Griff's human women I would care for him. So if there's a chance that a plan might fail, I would be breaking my vows if I remained silent.
You're enjoying this. Don't deny it.
Fi growled, and I let out a groan. Both of you stop, I ordered them. And the pair of angelic Arkins simmered down. Sarah's right. Illusions might not be enough to trick them. They're silent, but the way they stare, they know more than they let on. We need a new plan. I sat down on the edge of the bed and considered a different idea. If illusions weren't viable, what else could I do to disguise myself? I couldn't turn invisible, couldn't teleport. Sarah's portal capabilities were too tricky to manage in such tight quarters, and their effect on my mana was too great to risk here. I couldn't go in looking like my normal summoner self at all. The Shaddoll were too quick to spot me my first day in the room, and I couldn't afford to repeat that encounter this late in the week. Suddenly, it hit me. I reached deep into my mind and released the bindings I had over Viopa, and then I felt the succubus goddess stir and stretch.
Good morning, Master, she purred. How can I be of assistance?
Your power is shape-shifting, I clarified, and I was half-questioning, half-confirming what I already knew.
Yes, it is, the Arkin replied,
and I could feel the gorgeous goddess's grin as she realized my intentions.
Name the shape, and it shall be yours.
Can you turn me into a Shaddoll? I asked her, and my heart thudded in anticipation.
Perhaps,
she murmured. Come on, Viopa, don't play coy. We don't have much time, I snapped.
Can you turn me into a Shadal or not?
Of course I can,
Viopa giggled.
I just wanted to make you work for it a bit.
Suddenly, my neck tingled where the vampire Arkin's tattoo resided on my skin. The sensation was pleasant, and I was about to close my eyes to enjoy it, but the pleasant feeling was eclipsed by the rippling nightmare that was my shifted body. Whenever my wife Freya shifted into her hawk form, the transformation was strangely alluring and beautiful. She always looked so at ease and comfortable with the change, as it was second nature for her to morph shapes. But my transformation was anything but beautiful. The fair skin of my hands bubbled and twisted as they'd been shoved into a vat of hot oil. And while the sight was utterly terrifying, it was entirely painless. It was akin to Fi's illusion magic, only I knew this transformation was real. My complexion lost its normal hue and took on a gray translucence, and my already long fingers extended out even further. I stretched my arms out in front of me, and as I did, I watched them lengthen and thin out as I lost muscle mass and gained more willowy appendages. In one final surge, the ceiling grew closer as my legs stretched, and I gained about 6 or 7 inches of height. My frame had always been taller than average, but now I would practically tower over anyone who happened to cross me. Holy shit, I muttered. This was beyond anything I'd ever experienced before. I'd literally become a monster. I decided to test my new limbs and headed to the bathroom mirror, but once I reached the vanity, I immediately regretted that decision. I was a Shadal. And as such, my features had been swept away and replaced with a blank palette. Tall, gaunt, and impossibly thin, I was a ghoul somewhere between man and monster, and I chuckled to myself as I observed my ghostly new form. Then I looked down at Dio, and the saber-toothed cat's fur was bristly as he glared at me.
I hate this,
my familiar groaned.
I know it's you, but... Damn, boss, you look spooky as fuck.
That's the point, I laughed. I've got to blend in with the rest of those things.
Ugh,
Dio groaned, and the cat laid down and rested his cheek on his tawny paws.
Wake me up when you're back to normal. I can't even look at you.
Don't be a baby, I chuckled at my familiar. But when I went to pet the cat, Dio jumped up and bolted under the bed. How a normally 20-foot beast could be so scared of another creature was beyond me, but I decided to stop harassing the cat over it. I turned my attention back to Viopa. So, I know I look like them, obviously, but what else is possible beyond that? Do I have their abilities too? Can I phase through walls, float? Whatever other creepy things they can do.
They cannot phase through walls, Viopa replied. Though they look like it, they aren't quite like human ghosts. They must obey the rules of this dimension. However, they can float, and you may utilize that gift to your advantage.
If this form had a mouth, I would have grinned. This was too wild. There were so many undiscovered things I could accomplish with Viopa's ability, and I vowed that once I returned to Mistral, I would start experimenting with the goddess's magic.
It is yours to utilize as you wish, master, the Arkin purred.
After one last look at myself in the mirror, I utilized my extended stride and left the chamber. It was now or never, and I didn't know how long I'd be able to maintain this strange new magic. I floated down the corridor and relished in the odd feeling of it as I coasted. This body was lighter than my human one, and as the air rushed past me, I felt almost non-existent. This form was nearly enjoyable, aside from being creepy as fuck, of course. My stomach plummeted as I spied a pair of Shadal out of the corner of my vision, and I did my best to calm myself. I couldn't lose it now. Or they would know I was an imposter,
So I held my head forward and attempted to exhume the calm energy of the Shaddal. My efforts proved successful when the monsters moved right along, and I was grateful I didn't have a mouth to make sound with. I ascended the staircase and floated all the way to the third floor landing, the library. This was my final chance to gain an advantage over the Arkans. Was I placing a ton of pressure on my shoulders for an object that may or may not mean anything? Of course. But the pressure I put on myself only motivated me further. And so, with the deep inhale, I approached the hallway. To no surprise, there were a few other Shaddal based at the entrance of the room, but their guarded stances were still far more relaxed than they'd been the other day. Perhaps they were less tense because they'd yet to see my human form. I wanted to laugh. If only the monsters knew I was right in front of them. While there weren't as many shadow creatures as before, the number was still more than I preferred, and I had to think of a way to walk into the room without weirdness. Suspicions needed to stay to a minimum in order to stroll in without questioning, so I hovered midair and let my hands fall slack at my sides. I wasn't sure of the correct posture to emulate, and I prayed to the Maker that my defenseless stance was innocent enough to convince them I was harmless. I took a deep breath and then decided to face the door head on. Could I just walk in, or was there some form of shadow creature protocol? Did Shaddal need clearance, or did they just operate of their own accord? Thankfully, not one of the creatures looked at me or attempted to stop me, and I managed to open the door without fault. Yes, it had actually worked. I was in the library, and I hadn't been caught. I wanted to cheer and rejoice in my victory, but my problems were far from over. There was still the matter of finding the shelves in the labyrinth of the room, and then reading through the volumes without being spotted by one of the real shadow creatures. This wasn't going to be simple. The candlelight from the chandelier was dimmer than before, and I noticed only half of the candles were lit. The darkness made it more difficult to see, and in a mysterious room like this, there was no way it was coincidental. Karth just had to make things as damn near impossible as she possibly could. I remembered the display was tucked away at the back, though, so that's where I moved. I began the journey through the shelves, and I nearly slammed right into a Shaddal as I turned the first corner. Damn! So that's where they'd all meandered to. Karth had really stepped up security since the last time Dio and I had been in here. I resumed my non-threatening stance, and it seemed enough to satisfy the shadow creature. The translucent monster brushed past me silently, as if nothing had occurred, and floated toward the front of the room. My heart thudded. That was a close one. I continued on, and as I floated, I simultaneously cursed and praised the intricacy of the room's layout. While it was irritating to swerve in and out of the wall-length shelves in the dim light, Karth had made an impressive effort to keep her secrets concealed, and I had to admire the amount of work she'd put in. The black-bound volumes taunted me with their identical presence. The sheer amount of books was maddening, and I wondered how Karth had found so many. Time moved at a snail's pace, and I grew weary as I continued on. The room hadn't seemed very large when I'd entered, but the twists and turns made the space feel as if it never ended. At several points, I wondered if I'd moved in circles, but with the same black volumes on every shelf, it was hard to establish a place marker. This labyrinth was intended to drive a person insane before they could locate what was hidden. Finally, I froze in front of a shelf and gave up. This was too difficult to do without further magical interference, and I was tired of passing through the same area over and over again. Before I resolved to make my way to the front of the room, though, a strange sensation wavered through me as if I was being guided. I turned to the right and headed down a path I'd passed through a million times, but in the corner of my vision, I spotted a flash of red. Praise the Maker! I'd found the shelf! I all but ran the rest of the way, and I finally spied what I'd come here for. The strange book bound in a stretched-out beige material. I selected it from amongst the other leather-bound volumes, and as I plucked it away from the others, I experienced an overwhelming sensation, like I'd just unlocked a key to something. I glanced behind me in case Karth or any Shaddal were watching me, but to my relief, no one else was around. With nervous anticipation, I opened the book and was greeted by pages full of shiny black text. The characters were some kind of hieroglyphs, and the intricately drawn language made no sense to me, yet appeared familiar at the same time. I brought the book closer to my face to study it further, and for a brief moment I felt as if I could read what was written. This was all so strange.
"Master, I suggest we get moving," Viopa interrupted my thoughts. "You may have evaded suspicion for now, but your luck may not last."
The succubus Arkin was right. The last thing I needed was for a Shaddal to turn a corner and see me with the book Karth had worked so hard to bury. So I reached into my consciousness and summoned Sarah. "Sarah, I need you," I demanded.
"As you wish."
Within seconds, my back began to quiver as Sarah's wing tattoos slipped off my skin. And then, in a rush of black smoke, the dark winged Arkin appeared before me. Sarah was gorgeous in an otherworldly way. The Arkin's thick black hair was dense, and it waved down her bare back and contrasted with her extremely pale skin. Her eyes were large and tilted up at the corners, and her irises were a cat-like bright yellow. Her black feathered angelic wings stretched outward, and the goddess let out a satisfied sigh.
"I've been needing to do that for so long," she purred, and then the goddess gave me her full attention. "You wouldn't believe how cramped it gets in there with all of these additional bodies. But now that that's handled, how can I help you, Master?"
"I need you to take this book to Mistral," I instructed her.
"Mistral?"
Sarah repeated back to me, and the Arkin furrowed her eyebrows.
"Where? Why?"
"I can answer the why pretty easily," I began. "Sneaking this book out of the Shadowscape without Karth catching me is going to be next to impossible. It's not as if I can stash it away in a coat pocket or something. So the next best thing is to have you take it to the human realm."
"Master, I'm not sure I have the strength to make the journey there and back again," Sarah said quietly. "It exerted much of my energy the last time."
"Are you fucking with me?" I growled.
"No,"
she hissed.
"The farther I travel from you, the harder it is. I was in incredible pain when I went to tell your women."
"Oh," I whispered as my anger cooled. "Sorry. I didn't know. Why didn't you say anything?"
"Would it have mattered?"
she asked as she shrugged her beautiful shoulders.
"I do what you ask with hopes that you will compliment me, or pat me on the head, or give me any sign of affection. You don't care about my pain."
"That's not true," I replied.
"Isn't it, though?"
She raised an eyebrow.
"If you want me to take the book all the way to your women, it will be agonizing. But I'll do it for you. I'll do anything for you, Griff."
"Fuck," I murmured, and I brought one of my shadowy hands to the top of my head. "I suppose I could be way nicer to all of you. I'm sorry."
"It's fine,"
Sarah sighed.
I don't think you understand how strong our desire is for you. It is another form of agony we all endure. But enough of that talk. What would you have me do?"
"Well..." I paused as I concocted a backup plan. "If you can't teleport to Mistral without exerting yourself, maybe you could hide it away somewhere in the Shadowscape. And once I'm back, we can dispatch a team to retrieve it."
"What if someone finds it first?"
Sarah wondered. "Well, then you should make sure it's hidden away somewhere safe," I replied matter-of-factly. "Somewhere Karth won't be able to track it, but easy enough for us to find later."
I suppose that isn't the worst plan,
Sarah said reluctantly, and the dark winged Arkin tilted her head to the side as she considered it.
Fine. I'll stash it away. But maybe you'll reward me?
Maybe, I sighed as I handed the thick book off to the Arkin. Keep this safe. Hide it well. I don't know what it says, but I have a feeling that it's important.
Yes, master.
Sarah nodded. I mean it, Sarah. I stared at her intensely, and though my eyes were non-existent in this gaunt face, I tried to convey a commanding expression. It was effective, and with a lingering look at my lips, the winged Arkin disappeared into thin air. The researchers would be interested in the book, and with Arwen's superior intellect, I knew she would rise to the occasion and help me decipher the glyphs. Though I was excited by the discovery, I couldn't remain in the library any longer, so I began the journey out of the library. Thankfully, I'd managed to find my way quicker than I had earlier, and soon I reached the library's entrance. Surprisingly, no Shadal hovered at their posts, so my exit was easier than anticipated. I closed the door softly behind me and glanced around the corridor. I was completely alone, and I took the opportunity to fly down the stairs and back to my chamber. Once I was in the safety of my room, I released the magic I'd borrowed from Viopa and let out a sigh as the strain of my mana released. I outstretched my arms and felt a wave of happiness as my hands resumed their normal appearance. My spindly fingers shortened, my muscles grew back, and the color and solid appearance of my skin returned to me. My body returned to its normal height, and I twisted my back to release the tension that had built up. Once I was certain the process was finally over, I flopped backward onto the bed. I was relieved to have my own appearance back, and glad I hadn't been discovered. I wouldn't feel completely comfortable until Sarah returned, but for now, things were well enough.
Did you find it, boss?
I nodded, and then I brought Dio up to speed on the mission. The saber-toothed cat's eyes expanded as the story went on, and once it concluded, his fanged maw hung open.
That's intense, he noted.
Definitely, I agreed as I stared up at the ceiling. After all of that excitement, I was ready to fall asleep for 1,000 years. Dio jumped up beside me, content with the idea of napping for a while. But our relaxation didn't last. A knock at the door rang out, and my blood chilled. Had I been caught so quickly? Karth made it abundantly clear that nothing happened in the castle without her knowledge, so perhaps I was a fool to think that the magic had actually worked.
Hey!
Viopa sniffed.
Don't blame the magic! It served its purpose and did it well. If you were discovered, it was not of my doing.
Settle down, Viopa!
Fi snapped at the succubus Arkin.
No one's accusing you of anything. Let our master contemplate,
Utuni chimed in. Sweat beaded across my forehead. If I had been caught after all, I would have no other choice than to take Sarah up on her idea to open up a direct portal. I wanted to outwardly keep the peace with Karth, but if the Arkin had discovered the theft of the book, I could kiss that illusion goodbye. I took a moment to compose myself. This would be the most difficult acting performance of my life. Then I walked to the door and opened it to find Karth waiting for me. The Arkin wasn't in her usual leather bodysuit, and instead, she wore a simple black shift dress that hugged her muscular frame just as well as the leather did. Her chestnut brown waves were smothered back off her neck into a braided updo, and her ivory horns were particularly shiny, as if they were polished just for the occasion. The goddess's russet eyes regarded me with soft fire, and I held back a nervous gulp. She looked every inch the warrior queen I knew she was, but I couldn't allow her to think anything was amiss.
Hello, Griff,
the ivory-horned Arkin purred.
May I come in?
Of course, I replied, and I held the door open so she could enter. This is your home, after all. I can't tell you where you can and can't go.
It's called respect, Beastmaker.
Karth snorted as she came inside. She made a direct route to the bed, and once there, she perched elegantly at the edge of the mattress and crossed her legs.
Sure, I could come and go as I wish, but I wanted you to feel as if you are in private quarters, not a public jail.
The skirt of her dress rose high enough to give me an excellent view of her toned thighs, but I forced myself to focus on the goddess's face. Well, thanks for that, I muttered, and I peered at the Arkan. So, what can I do for you? Is this a social or a physical visit?
It can be whatever you want it to be,
the green-skinned goddess purred.
But I have something else I need to speak with you about.
Heat rushed to my cheeks. Shit. She knew. And what's that exactly? I prompted in an even voice. The goddess came closer to me and kissed me gently on the cheek. And when she drew away, she raised a single eyebrow.
Congratulations, Beastmaker.
Karth smiled widely.
You've survived the week.